Praise the Lord. So that's so good. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing and is about to do in our midst. And hey, we're going to come around the Word. This is part two of a message I started last week. Did you enjoy that message last week? I enjoyed it. So that message was called I Choose to Believe. So this is part two. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Anointed One. And I ask that you'd bless the word that's spoken today, that it would go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside influence. Lord, that those listening to it would receive it. Lord, would get it into their spirit. Lord, those here, those who listen to this on the internet, by podcast or download, Lord, we just pray that this would be a great encouraging and signs would follow the preaching of the word. We're expecting miracles. We're expecting great things to happen in your midst. Amen. So I want to continue with this message to believe. It's just not something you've got to calculate in your mind. You just got to get to a point where you say, I choose to believe. I choose to believe God. And the scripture tells us that we need to come in the area of faith or and believing God like our child does. And so we know that children will believe whatever their parents tell them, both good and bad. And so many kids have been messed up because of what their parents have told them, in the bad sense. It's especially important to tell your children about the things of God because they'll believe it. So I want to come around the scripture in Luke's gospel. I've got it on the screen for you, in chapter 18. And it says, one day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Now, you've got to be a little bit sympathetic for the disciples because, I mean, everyone was trying to get to Jesus. The crowds, the multitudes, it says, were just thronging him all day. And so, you see the politicians going around and everyone wants them to kiss their baby, things like that. But in this case, the parents wanted, Jesus to bless their children. And so in verse 16, then it says, then Jesus called for the children and he said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. So the kingdom of God has to be taken by faith. You've got to believe what the Bible tells us about the kingdom of God. And that's why it likens it to a child. If you need to come into the kingdom like a child, I just accept it. I just believe it. See, believing is not hard. It's a choice. A lot of people said to me, it's so hard, this faith. It's so hard to believe for things. And I tell you, no, it's not. It's just a choice. You choose to believe. And there's always two choices, when it comes to needing a miracle. If you need a miracle, that means there's something gone wrong in your life. You need a miracle because there's some financial issue. You need a miracle because there's some sickness or disease or some issue that's plaguing your life, so you need a miracle. But there's always two choices that come to you. Either you're going to believe the word of God or you're going to accept fear. They're the two choices. I see that time and time again, it repeats itself all the way along. Now, I want you to see this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, regarding Jairus and his daughter who was at the point of death. So when we go to this passage in Luke 8 and verse 49, so it says there, so what happened, Jairus, who's the ruler of the synagogue, sees Jesus coming to the shore and he runs down to meet him. He falls down at the feet of Jesus and implores him, he begs him, come and lay your hands on my daughter that she might live, because she's at the point of death. And we know that the crowds and the multitudes were thronging around Jesus, so it's very difficult to get to his house. And so along the way there was another woman that stopped Jesus, and a great miracle happened there. And we pick up in verse 49, while he was still speaking, that means Jesus was still speaking to this woman, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher, But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she'll be made well." See, when you choose fear, and fear is a choice, you actually believe that the sickness or the issue you have is too big for God. I'll say it again. When you choose fear, what you mean is you're looking at the problem and the issue, and you believe that issue, that sickness, that financial issue, that relationship issue is too big for God to handle. That's the key. That's what happens when fear comes. It looks like it's too big. But if you knew what the Word of God says, and what it says in Mark 10:27, it says this. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." See, with man, with our ability, with our things that we do to get healed or get well or prosper in our life, it always seems impossible. But I can tell you, with God, there's nothing that's impossible. All things are possible. Now, we know that there is nothing impossible with God or for God. But when Jesus takes it to the next level, and he says this in Mark 9 and verse 23, and he brings it right back around, and he points his finger back to us. And he says here, he says to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So he said, with God, nothing is impossible. Then he says back to you, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I want you to hear that, because this is an important message that Jesus is saying. He's saying, nothing is impossible for God. So if you make the choice to believe, then all things are possible if you believe. He didn't say if all things are possible, God believes. He says if you believe. Your job is to believe. It's important to understand that your job is to believe. If you can believe, all things or everything is possible to him or her that believes. Put your hand up this morning if you're a him or a her. Okay, that means that's possible for you. And I say to you, nothing is impossible if you choose to believe. You have to get to the place where you want to say to yourself, even though I don't understand all the spiritual laws, I don't think anyone does understand all the spiritual laws. I know a lot of the laws, but even though I don't believe or understand them all, I simply choose to believe in God and believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we know that down into Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So God wants to reward faith. God wants to reward faith. And in verse 7, it takes it a bit further. And I want you to look at verse 7, because verse 7 starts to talk about some of those men and women who stepped out in faith and chose to believe God. It says, by faith. Now, I've put in brackets here in my passage, or by choosing to believe. Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. It goes on to say, by faith, or by choosing to believe, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place to which he would receive an inheritance. So Abraham lived in a place called Ur of Chaldees, and God spoke to him and said, I want you to leave your household, I want you to leave your family, everything that you own, all your inheritance, I want you to leave, I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. So he chose to believe. He went out pretty well just with his wife and the stuff he had with him. And it says, not knowing where he was going. And the verse 9, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So it's saying there that here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob believed the promise and waited for a city that was to come. And then down in verse 11 here says, by faith, or by choosing to believe, Sarah herself, Abraham's wife, received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, as him good as dead. That's talking about Abraham, good as dead. I mean, he was 100 years of age nearly. As good as dead in his body. Were born as many of the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. And verse 13 says, all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having received them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So all these men and women of faith, even though they didn't see the great promise that God had said to them, I mean, Abraham wasn't going to live to see the millions and millions and millions of descendants, but he received them and he believed them. That's why they happened. He did receive the promise of the child. Those heroes of faith had to come to some point where they chose not to consider the natural circumstances or limitations they saw in the natural, but they came to the point where they believed the promise of God. Now, I want to look a little bit closely at Abraham, because he's a great example. But this is Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that promise might be assured to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those of us who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So Abraham believed what God would say. God always called the thing that didn't exist, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. See, Abraham, it says here, contrary to hope. Or another way of saying that is that when there's absolutely no hope, in hope believed. See, he turned hope into faith. And that was by a choice. And it goes on to say that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And it says, not being weak in faith. Now, that was because Abraham had built his faith up. He got to a place where he built his spiritual faith up to a level where he believed. And he got to a place where he didn't consider his own body, which says here was already dead, or the deadness of his wife's womb. Now, Abraham was about 100 years of age, and his wife was over 90. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he was able, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him to righteousness. So Abraham built up his faith to a point where he could see the promise of God so big in his life. He saw the promise. It was so big in his life, he didn't consider once his age. Now, he was past the age of any man to father a child. You know, when he got to 75, it was probably just about too late then. But now at 100, there was no way that he could ever father a child in the natural. But he believed the promise, so much so he didn't once look at the condition of his body. He didn't once look at the condition of his wife, Sarah. Obviously, way too old. He built up to his faith to a point where he's fully convinced that what God has promised, God was also able and willing to perform. That's an important point, because a lot of the times we can believe that God is able to do these things, but we have a mindset blockage that says, is God willing to do this for me? It's so important we understand that God is both able and willing to do what you ask. Very important. At that point, Abraham stopped striving and he just rested in the knowledge that all he had to do was believe God and let God do the rest for him. Now, last week, I actually started on a section here which was talking about the bondage of the wickedness that comes upon us. And I just wanted to take that a bit further. And I said, when things are stuck in your life regarding healing or prosperity or any other major issue, let me suggest that's because the bonds of wickedness that have come against us that are oppressing us. So please make sure you listen to last week's message, because you need to understand the context by which I was talking about this. So that's part one. It's online right now. So I'm referring to the bonds of wickedness which are in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And I may have that there. Yes, and it says there, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." So I'm referring to the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, which are designed to come and put you in bondage and oppression. Now, your fight is not against flesh and blood or against people. Got to understand that. The enemy can use people to come at you, but if you understand the source of what that bondage is, it's always satanic. It's always this what it calls the host of wickedness in heavenly places. And it comes to oppress. And then we go down to this passage in Isaiah chapter 58, and it says, Is this not the fast I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Now that's what he's chosen. This is the thing that God's chosen. And this is the reason why in the start of the ministry of Jesus in Luke 4:19, Jesus sets out his assignments and his calling when he stands up in the synagogue to read. And he actually takes the passage from Isaiah 61. So we're going to look at Isaiah 61 here. And Isaiah 61 says this. And this is what Jesus read. "The Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." Now that poor that Jesus is referring to, or God is referring to in the scripture, is anyone that's financially poor, poor in health, poor in relationships, spiritually poor. If you're not prospering in some area of life, this passage is for you. And it says there, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive and opening of the prison to those who are bound." This is what it was all about. See, that bond of wickedness, what it does, it puts people in captivity. It puts them like in prison. And then it goes on in the last verse here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. But I want to focus on this part. On the end of verse 1, it says, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to open the prison to those who are bound. See, this was the reason why God the Word, when he submitted himself to the Godhead, he said, "I'll be the one that would put down my right as God, and I'll come and I'll be made flesh. I'll come in the form of a man. I'll come down to earth to redeem mankind back. And I'm going to come and destroy all the works of the devil or Satan." And let me tell you that the works of Satan against mankind have been going on since Adam and Eve were in the garden. That's how long they've been going on. And he hasn't stopped yet. Every time you put your hand up and you think about the things of God, he'll come against you. He still continues to oppress people today and put them into bondage of fear. And he wants to give you fear. And you find the more and more that you are bound by wickedness, and it's like a band around your head and your mind, and it makes you and renders you spiritually useless when that bondage is on your mind. When that bondage is on your mind, you can't see any way of getting free. See, Satan wants above all else to keep you from getting the promise, or keep you from getting into the promised land. And there is a promised land. That promised land is a land of prosperity. It's a land of abundance. A land of health and healing. It's a land of miracles designed by God just for you. But Satan is hell-bent on keeping you out of it. You know, 400 years before the children of Israel went into the promised land, when they got out of Egypt, Abraham walked around that very land, and God said to him, "Every place you put your feet, I'm going to give that to you and your descendants. So he spent his whole life walking around that land. He set up his tent. He dug a well. He went on to another place. Every place he did, he was doing that as an inheritance for the children of Israel. But we see that 400 years after Abraham did that, when Moses was going in the wilderness, going to the promised land, he sent out 12 spies into the promised land. So I want you to go out and I want you to have a look and see what's there. See what things are there for us. And when they went and they spied out the land, they came back with a report. Now, 10 of them came back with a report of evil things. They brought some of the produce, which was one cluster of grapes, could only be carried by two men, so big was the fruit in that land. But what the 10 spies said, we cannot do it. Because in every road into the promised land was guarded by giants. So for 400 years, Satan had a strategy. He stationed giants at every place around the promised land that so the children of Israel couldn't get in. Not only that, those people in there couldn't get out because they were oppressed. So giants were stationed at every road going in and out of the promised land. So when the children of Israel went to spy it out, they said, "We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do this." And there was only two men, Joshua and Caleb, that believed the word of God and says, "We are well able. We can do it. Let's go up and take our possession right now." Because they believed that they believed in the supernatural power of God to deliver them. But we see here the report that they gave to the 2 million children of Israel in the wilderness. There was a choice they made, either to choose a report of the 2 or the 10. And they chose to believe the fear of those giants. And as a result of believing that they could not overcome the giants, 2 million Hebrew men and women, boys and girls, died in the wilderness and didn't go in and get their promise. It was made, it was designed for them. It was promised to them, but because they chose fear, they failed to receive the promise. And they all died in the wilderness. You know, it's time to get serious and to start building our faith up. And the Word talks about our most holy faith. And you get to a place where you can loose the bonds of wickedness over your situation, over your generational lines. Because a lot of these bonds of wickedness come down the generational lines. They come down from your parents, from their grandparents, parents, all the way down. This being the same pattern that's happened through the life of our parents and our grandparents. We see that same thing, the same curse affecting all the way down. It's up to you now to break that bond. It's up to you. And so it may take you to do some fasting. It may take you to come out and get set free from that. It was only when men and women of faith eventually went into the promised land that they drove out the giants. So it was the next generation that chose to believe the word of God. And they went into the promised land, and everywhere they went, God fought for them. God won the battle for them. And they drove out the inhabitants, and they could take the promised land for their own. You know, this morning, just as I close here, I want you to say this after me. I choose to believe. Say it again. I choose to believe. Now, that's how easy it is. You either choose to believe something, you always choose, or you always make a decision to believe by what you say. It's no good saying, in your mind, I choose to believe, because what happens when you declare something out of your mouth, that establishes it. So we are speaking, living, speaking spirits. So out of our spirit comes those words that change the situation. The Holy Spirit's right now. So if you've released your faith today, I believe that bondage will be broken off your mind. There'll be strongholds broken. And I believe healing is available for right now. I know the Holy Spirit's here. So all you have to do is receive. So I want you to stand up with me right now. And as you stand, we're just going to sing a couple of songs together. And as we do, if you want to receive some healing, or you want to see something broken off off your life or off your background, well, I encourage you to come out as we sing this song together.